I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And I hope you'll agree as you stick around that we've got an interesting show for you today. Three different events we're focusing on. The first is a concert tonight by singer-songwriter Nico Case. She seems to be sort of alternative country, indie pop, indie rock. She has her own band and also a group with the wonderful title of The New Pornographers, a Canadian indie rock group. Second part of the portion of the show, an interview with Kevin Locke, who has the Kevin Locke Native Dance Ensemble, which is going to be performing in Springfield at Sangam Auditorium Tuesday night. So a little bit of a look ahead there. And in the later portion, we're actually finishing up an interview we aired part of the other day with a couple of members of the Extension Chords, one of numerous a cappella groups at the University of Illinois. They are participating in two different a cappella concerts tonight, this weekend. One is tonight at Gregory Hall on the U of I campus, and then one is their own show tomorrow night called X-Fest, in which they're inviting some groups from off-campus. They're performing in Fullinger Auditorium tomorrow night. So that's the Extension Chords coming up towards the end of the show. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. On Live and Local here on FM 90.9, I'm Kevin Kelly, and I have the privilege of having with me on the telephone Nico Case, who is an artist who was relatively new to me, having heard her on a couple of programs that we air on this station, including American Roots. So I'm going to assume that many of our listeners are going to find you new as well. Nico, thanks for doing this. And,
no problem. Thanks for having me on.
So for the sake of those folks, and for me to an extent, if you were to sort of give a history of your performing career, what would be the thumbnail sketch of where you started, what was in between, and what you're doing now?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know how to sum up my entire career in a sentence. It's been very long. It's long.
Well, it is long. And, for example, the early recording with this group called The New Pornographers, whose name I love, is something you're still doing, correct?
Yes.
Is very different from what you do when you're singing solo.
Yeah, the two bands have been around for the exact amount of time as each other, so I've never done one without the other, so I don't even really know what that's like.
Do you put on do you make any attempt to put on a different persona when you're with one versus when you're with your solo band?
I never attempt to put on a persona because I'm not a good actress.
Yeah, I realize it was not the best way to put that question, but
does
it represent different sides of you when you show up? Because they don't sound remotely alike. You don't sound alike
on the two. The New Pornographers is a very athletic kind of music in a way. It's very, very physical. And then, you know, the songs that I write in my own band are, you know, quite a bit different. They're also demanding in their own way, but The New Pornographers, I'm not responsible for writing songs, so there's kind of a freedom there that I really enjoy.
That word freedom is interesting because a couple of other times I've talked with singer-songwriters who have found different types of freedom in writing and singing somebody else's songs, whereas sometimes they've found that almost petrifying to sing somebody else's songs. Particularly if it was a cover. Do you relate
to that? Yeah, it depends on the song. Cover songs, sometimes I am petrified to sing them, but songs that Dan and Carl write, you know, I know Dan and Carl well, so it's kind of an honor, you know.
And the petrification on certain covers comes from where?
If the song is really great, there's the feeling that maybe you're not worthy of trying to reproduce it. It's like if you did an Aretha Franklin song, you'd never sound like Aretha Franklin. But that in itself is kind of the answer. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to sound like Aretha Franklin, so why bother? But then at the same time, it's like, I'm never going to sound like Aretha Franklin, so it'll sound totally different.
Yeah, so you could. I think that's why some people look at both ways. So it's more, it's less having to do with who wrote the song than with who is best known for performing the song. Is that right? Or a little of both?
It's about time and place and arrangement, and I don't know. There are so many different factors. I mean, sometimes I have cover songs that I want to do for years and years, and, you know, it's just got to be the right circumstance, or you have to feel like you've got an idea for the proper arrangement, or, you know, for example, I did the Don't Forget Me song by Harry Nilsson on this record, and I'd wanted to do it for years and years, but, you know, I can't sing as well as Harry Nilsson, and I can't play piano as well as Harry Nilsson, so the idea for the piano orchestra came in really handy.
And
because I knew it was going to sound really handmade, and it, you know, we'd still have Garth Hudson come in and be the ringer, so, you know, Harry Nilsson would probably approve of doing something like that, I would hope.
And by this album, you mean the newest one?
Mm-hmm.
Middle Cyclone.
Is
there a theme that you consider that Middle Cyclone has running through it?
There's a lot of weather going on this record. It's not something I started out trying to do. It's kind of like you kind of realize what your themes are as you start working on a body of songs that are going to be a record. And you kind of learn about yourself. Like, oh, that's what I'm fascinated by. Which sounds kind of ridiculous, but a lot of people, you know, they don't pay much attention to their subconscious, so, or just, sometimes you realize that you're recognizing a lot of a certain thing, and you wonder why it's that thing. And then, you know, things like writing songs or making art can kind of point those things out to you and give them a greater meaning.
So what do you think you learned during the course of writing Middle Cyclone? Aside from the fact that you like weather songs, or like weather.
Well, I don't know that I learned much different from what I have been doing over the past few years, which is, you know, writing about nature and whatnot, and writing because I like to read. It's just kind of more of the same, but hopefully growing some, or I'm at least getting better at it, I hope.
That's a conversation I had the other day with Nico Case, who is going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana. Tonight, the show starts at 9, or at least the doors open at 9, beginning with her opening act, Sarah Harmer. And here is the song called Hold On, Hold On from her disc, Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. It's Nico Case here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Nico Case in her song called Hold On, Hold On from the disc called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. It's her next to last release. Her current one is called Middle Cyclone, and she's going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight. Show starts at 9 with the opening act, Sarah Harmer. Canopy Club is at 708 South Goodwin, and their number is 344-BAND, or you can go to canopyclub.com. And I had a conversation with her just a couple days ago on the telephone. In this next segment, I actually ask her about some of the meaning of the song, Hold On, Hold On. Also ask her about the name of the disc called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. This is Live and Local.
There's no specific meaning behind it. I just like the character of the Fox Confessor. He's a character in Russian and Ukrainian folklore.
See, that's a new character to me, so...
Well, he listens to, you know, people ask the Fox Confessor things, but he's not necessarily going to give you a straight answer. His answer is only going to lead you to more questions.
That sounds like somebody who could just as easily be out of Greek antiquity.
Yeah.
Where you have those kind of...
A lot of mythology is related that way.
And some of those Greek mythological questioners tend to be female.
Well, the Greeks, they always seem to have, you know, a yin and a yang. They always seem to have a male version of one thing and a female version of that as well. So the fox confessor isn't necessarily a male or a female.
I was just thinking whether the female question and answerer might be coming in and out of this particular album. I've read that the song "Hold On, Hold On" is particularly is directly autobiographical for you.
Yeah, that's kind of the only one. And in the other songs, I try not to write from a male or a female standpoint because I don't want to be a female or a male in a song. I just want to tell a story that anyone can read and they can insert themselves into it.
So is the autobiographical characteristic of that one song, is that then unusual in your songs?
Yes, very unusual.
That particular one, I'm just looking at the at a couple of lines here. Even the one that repeats itself, that echo chorus lied to me with its "hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on." Are you able to explain that at all?
I am, but I don't want to ruin it for the listener either, you know, because sometimes when you hear a song, you decide what it's about, and then you find out what the actual meaning is, and it kind of bums you out, because the one that you came up with is actually better. You know what I mean? I remember once reading the history of the song "Strange Fruit" by Billie Holiday, and it was the most disappointing facts, and really took away a lot of the power behind the song to me. So I don't, not that my songs are in that category, but or in that league, but I don't want to do that to people.
If songs are like poetry, which of course they are, especially some of yours.
They are poetry, yeah.
Yeah, they are poetry. You know, you're faced with that dilemma. Some people are more literalists, and they want to know, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm probably one of those. And then other people want to imagine their own meaning. And then songwriters such as yourself have your own meaning, and you don't want to tell anybody. It's kind of an interesting...
No, it's not that. It's just giving your listener credit. I mean, if people want the answer supplied to them in a song or a movie, there's those movies out there. But some people don't. And it just seems that the ratio of people who spell it out for you and people who don't spell it out for you is, you know, kind of grossly tipped to the people who spell it out for you side. So somebody's got to be, you know, making cinnamon bagels over here while somebody's making, you know, savory everything bagels over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess if you wanted
striving
people
for a balance.
Yeah, well, and if you wanted people to understand it literally, you would have written it literally.
Yeah, and a lot of times it is super literal too. Like on "People Got a Lot of Nerve" on the new record, you know, people think it's about some kind of man grabbing woman because of the term "man eater," but it's literally about large carnivores living in zoos that literally are man eaters. So. It's kind of back and forth, but you know, I'm not doing any of it to confuse or make myself look smarter than I actually am, because I will definitely come out right away in front of everyone and say, not really all that smart to begin with. There's just these questions that I think are nice, and so I like to ask them, or I like to describe little scenes or make little movies out of songs in a way.
Nico Case with the title song from her disc called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. She is going to be with guest artist Sarah Harmer at the Canopy Club in Urbana on South Goodwin tonight. The show starts at 9. For more information, 344-BAND. And coming up on Live and Local, we have a conversation with Kevin Locke of the Kevin Locke Native Dance Ensemble, and then interview with a couple of members of University of Illinois a cappella group called the Extension Chords, who are participating in an a cappella concert on campus tonight and then hosting their own tomorrow night. Our program today is made possible with support from the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, now in their new location at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign. The Music Shop offers private lessons on all instruments in their brand new studios. They also provide a complete band and orchestra instrument repair and service department. The Kevin Locke Native Dance Ensemble is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield on Tuesday night at 7:30. Their program features traditional dance and music from the Plains and Woodlands nations, mixed with some contemporary choreography, dramatic lighting, and music from his most recent album called Earth Gift, which was named Record of the Year in the 2009 Native American Music Awards. I talked with Kevin Locke yesterday on the telephone, and he moved around in various locations, which is why the sound sort of changes from outside to inside to actually inside his car eventually. And he has a belief in the oneness of humankind, which is a major tenet of his Baha'i faith. And I asked him sort of about the difference between oneness versus unity and then how that informed his deciding to form his dance ensemble.
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I never thought about that at all. Yeah, because first of all, you know, the oneness of humankind is a given. It has always been thus. But the stage of human history where we are now is that this is a point in which we have to begin to realize our innate unity, oneness of mankind. That's a given. It's slowly dawning in the collective consciousness of humanity. But what needs to be the outcome of that awareness is the unity of mankind. Yeah. So, of course, the folk arts is a powerful way to accentuate and propel the consciousness, the collective consciousness, to an awareness of this, of the need for unity. Of course, we're not there. We're far from it.
Can you describe the difference between,
because you can go inside. Wait, I can still hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not necessarily clear to me and may not be to our listeners, the difference between oneness, which you said is a given, and unity. What's the difference?
Well, mankind being one, mankind, you know, the fact that all the current research is bearing this out, that, you know, mankind is all derived from the same stock and, you know, dispersed throughout the world and has gone through all separate development but now we've reached a point, this point in human history where we've had this, that you would say the ingathering of the human family. And for the longest period since the beginning of this ingathering, mankind has pretty much been in denial of our oneness. You know, by oneness, I mean that we're all really of the same species. We're the same species, and we are all interconnected, interrelated. But now, of course, the difference between oneness and unity is that unity would be the next stage that mankind needs to achieve, because we're far from it. You can see throughout the world all of the, you know, the denial, the hatred, the ignorance, the racism, the prejudice, all the things that are preventing mankind from a realization of our unity. Is that clear?
And so how did that influence your deciding to do this ensemble?
Well, that's always been the point of what I've been trying to express, because, you know, people erroneously assume that the presentations that I do solo or as a group is an exposition of Native culture. This is an erroneous assumption. You know, people always assume that that's what it is. But actually, you know, the whole point of the program is to transcend a cultural or tribal-specific message. And it's very easy to do because we use the folk arts. You know, in every community throughout the world, almost every community, they've developed these folk arts, which is an expression. You know, everywhere it's very different, of course. Do you know what I'm referring to by folk art?
Yes.
Okay, good. So then, you know, it's like it could be music, it could be dance, it could be oral traditions or whatever. But whatever it is, the common theme is that it's every community has over many generations has developed an aesthetic, a way of expressing the nobility of the human spirit. In other words, that community's sense of balance, of beauty, of dignity, and whatever folk art it is, it expresses this community aesthetic. So it emphasizes this, you know, like I say, the nobility of the human spirit. So we're very lucky here in North America. We have a very strong, you know, native or indigenous folk arts, and this is what we're using here. This is what we're using here to develop that and expound that theme.
So you said people perceive this as a presentation of native culture, but you're saying that this happens to be your culture, and so using the folk arts is a way of presenting this notion of unity and encouraging the notion of unity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because you can accentuate universal themes, universal human values.
It says in your own biography that about 80% of your presentations are shared with children. Why is that?
Yeah, that seems to be about the breakdown, yeah.
Why is that?
Because they're a collective audience, and they're there against your own free will, and so you can just get them there and together, and they can't escape. And you can collectively torture them.
Yeah, I don't think that's the real reason, is it?
No, it's because, well, for one thing, it's, you know, schools love that kind of thing, and so I found a niche in doing school programs. But, you know, it's the most logical place because, you know, children are the ones that can really relate to all this. It's so natural for them. And, you know, most of my our presentation is participatory. And so the kids love that, you know, and they're eager to participate. And so that's by far the best audience. You know, I've performed in the Kennedy Center, at the Lincoln Center, all over the world, but I'll take a school on the Riz any day, you know, like in Red Scaffold or Cherry Creek or He Dog or Uppercut Meat or any place like that. I'll take that over the Lincoln Center, Kennedy Center any day.
Because the kids are a more open audience, you think?
Yeah, to me it's much more effective because they have this sense of wonderment and awe and you know, that's, and so then the whole idea of doing things in a participatory way totally transcends the normal presentation, which is vicarious. I think as long as you stay in a vicarious mode, you reinforce this erroneous concept of, you know, people experiencing different cultures as being extrinsic to themselves, as foreign, as separate. But when you can involve the audience, then they can integrate that. It becomes intrinsic to them. So then they have the realization, which is the realization that we're trying to create, that the all this riches of the human heritage is a, this is our, we are all legitimate heirs. We are the inheritors of these riches of the human experience. And that they all have something valid and valuable and essential to add or contribute to this emerging global civilization.
What is the term you prefer in reference to your own background? I actually didn't mean to extend that interview just yet. We'll come back to the rest of that and the rest of my question and his answer. Kevin Locke is who I'm speaking with. I'm Kevin Kelly here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And he's bringing his Native Dance Ensemble to the Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield next Tuesday, the 10th at 7:30. Here's a sample from his most recent album called Earth Gift. This segment is called At First Light. Thank you. flutist Kevin Locke with his Native Dance Ensemble. That's from his disc called Earth Gift, the tune At First Light. It's a rather extensive segment here, and we'll come out of it so we can go back to our interview. Talked with him yesterday on the telephone. I'm actually not sure where he was. He wasn't sure either. He thought it might have been Ohio or Indiana, which tells you how much he's traveling around. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here's the rest of that conversation with Kevin Locke, the dance ensemble appearing at the Sangamon Auditorium at the U of I Springfield on next Tuesday night at 7:30. What is the term you prefer in reference to your own background, your own
my background,
nativity?
I belong to the human being tribe. That's what I say. I always, you know, people ask me, you know, who I am. I'm just saying, I'm just a member of the human being tribe like everybody else. Yeah. But you're asking a more specific question. What is your question?
Well, the question, you know, Native American versus indigenous people versus Aboriginal people.
Well, these are legal terms.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with political correctness, because in the United States, if you say Native American, you're referring to, it's a very broad definition. See, these are legal terms that are defined by Congress. So if you say Native American, you could be referring to a Pacific Islander from the U.S. Trust Territories. You can be referring to a person who's a member of a state-recognized tribe. You can be referring to a person who self-identifies as a Native person. You can be referring to an Alaska Native. You can also be referring to a member of a federally recognized tribe. But when you say American Indian, that's a very specific term which specifically refers to a member of a federally recognized tribe in the United States. So everybody in our ensemble, you would more correctly describe as American Indian.
Ah, that's actually a distinction I wasn't aware of, the legality of the whole thing.
You and nearly 100% of all the other people in the U.S.
Well, then yeah. It was a good question, I guess, because
it's a good question.
Everybody
trips up on it, too.
I'm curious about some of the different kinds of dance that are referred to, just reading through the biographies of the folks in your ensemble. You mm-hmm. mentioned Thiers of Defoe, and there's a reference here to Iroquois social songs and participation dancing, and then with Doug Foote is described as a champion fancy dancer, which is a term I hadn't seen before, and then Amber Windy Boy fancy shawl and jingle dancer. What are some of the differences between these types of dancing?
Well, you know, in the modern powwow movement, then there's all these different categories of dance, you know, on the male side and different ones on the female side. So that's all that's referring to. So it would be meaningful to somebody who's familiar with that.
Well, what is the modern powwow movement? That's new to me as well.
You know, just like everywhere in Indian country, there's all these gatherings. They call them powwows in English language, and they could be a traditional powwow. They could be contest, and it's, you know, there's people that basically in most Native communities, they do sponsor one of these. And within that context, you know, there's it's celebrated by music. You know, music is really the glue that holds everything together. And so, you know, this is the way a community expresses itself and creates unity within itself and creates unity, you know, extends itself and reaches out to the general population. And through the arts, your music and dance create this situation of unity.
How much is or how often are music and dance separate, or are they generally together?
No, you don't separate them. You know, this is a big thing, I think, it's a semantic difference, because I think in the what I say the dominant culture or the dominant Euro-American world, you know, the arts are considered separate, and usually people's relationship to the arts is, you know, they lead stressful lives, a lot of conflict, a lot of, you know, tension and everything. So then when they want to escape that reality that they find themselves, then they use the arts to escape that, to go into some other kind of a consciousness or whatever. But amongst the Native people, not only here, but I find throughout the world, they use the arts for the opposite purpose, and that is to connect to reality, to connect with that which is good and true and valid, and to, you know, to connect with the prayers, the dreams, the visions of the ancestors, the ones before us. And, you know, what they dream for, they can't experience it, but we can realize and actualize these things on their behalf, to connect with the future generations, to connect with the creation, to connect with all of creation, all people, to connect with God. So really, it's in any traditional gathering, you know, when they have music and dance, it's strictly a alcohol, drug-free environment.
Music called Buffalo Said to Me from the disc Earth Gift by Kevin Locke, with the Kevin Locke Native Dance Ensemble appearing at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield next Tuesday, November 10th at 7:30 in the evening. For more information, you can go to sangamonauditorium.com. I believe I have the correct web address, sangamonauditorium.org, sorry. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and my conversation with Kevin Locke actually took place yesterday. And there's a couple of a cappella concerts on the University of Illinois in campus in Urbana-Champaign this weekend. Tonight at 7:30 in Gregory Hall on the U of I campus, it's the concert called I Cappella, hosted by No Strings Attached and featuring eight of the ensemble's a cappella groups from the U of I. And one of those performers is the Extension Chords, who host their own show called X-Fest Saturday night at 8 o'clock on the Quad and Follinger Auditorium. They have invited a number of a cappella groups from other university campuses. And I aired part of the interview I did with them and one of the tracks from their new disc, which hasn't even been released yet, on Wednesday's a cappella show. Didn't get to the rest of the conversation, and I thought a lot of that was pretty interesting. So I thought I'd share the rest of that conversation and two more tracks from their CD with you for the rest of today's show here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and this is FM 90.9. And I just realized I forgot to bring in the names of the guys I was talking to, but I will remind you of that in a little bit. But I started this portion of the conversation, I asked them kind of the difference between some of the recorded sound of a cappella groups right now versus live sound and some of the effects that they are able to produce both live and on record.
Well, they contemporarily kind of started putting more of an effect on especially the drums to make it sound more realistic, as if it were a real drum. But that's just us beatboxing. And
What's that word?
Beatboxing.
Beatboxing.
Well, I mean, there's different things you can call it. You can call it vocal percussion or beatboxing. Beatboxing is, I guess, more of a hip hop term.
Yeah, I like that. I just haven't heard that term.
But so what they do is they just EQ it and put some reverb on the sound that we produce with our voices, and it makes it sound more realistic.
And that was you doing that stuff?
Yeah, I was the one performing the beatboxing on that one.
So what would it sound like if you just did it for us right here?
Well, that beat would be something like... and something like that. And
that actually almost sounds processed right there.
I mean
that's
so,
that's really well done.
I mean, I've been doing it for so long, and a lot of people are really good. Like, there's a lot of people that are way better than me, and they can make things sound very realistic. They don't really have to put that many effects on the drums on the recordings.
How long have you been in the Extension Chords?
This is my fourth year.
So you came in as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Do most people come in as freshmen?
We do get a lot of freshmen to try out. Actually, several of our members didn't make it the first time around, though. They came back as sophomores or juniors, and it's actually very common for us to take people the second time around. My freshman year, we did take a lot of. There were three of us freshmen, and then there was a sophomore and a junior. But it just depends on the year and the talent that we're looking for.
Here's a competitive question for you. Of all the a cappella groups on campus, who has the most auditionees? Any idea?
I would say us and the other guys probably have. Actually, wait, the girls actually do get a lot of auditionees, I would say.
Which one, the Ripcords?
The Ripcords and the Girls Next Door. And I'd say every acapella group gets a big showing because we're all located, we all have our auditions in the same spot, in the base of the music building. And so basically the auditionees will come and they'll just sign up for everything because we're all in just different rooms right around there.
Oh,
so,
you do it at the same time?
Yeah, well, it's right after quad day.
Yeah, I actually walked across the hall after my first audition and then auditioned for X Chords.
I had no idea that it was all run together like that. On your show on Saturday, X Fest, who else is coming? You're going to do a chunk of the show, I imagine, and then...
Okay. Well, we'll open with a song, and then we're going to be having some guest groups. We have the Spartan Discords from Michigan State University. It's the first time I think they've ever come to X Fest, so we're really excited to have them. They're an all-male a cappella group. We also have the Miami of Ohio Misfits. They're an all-girl a cappella group. We sang with them before. They're really talented. And then we also have Acabella from Missouri State University. And they're all, we've competed with them, actually, and they're way up there. So we have a really solid show planned for everybody. Really excited.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, if you like a cappella stuff, man, what a weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants tickets, what do they have to do for the Saturday event?
Well, we're selling tickets on the quad. For $5 for students and $10 for general admission. And
you can also get them on our website, yep. www.xcords.net.
So when you say on the quad, is that at a particular time or?
It's from 9 to 3 o'clock.
On that day?
We're all this week.
Oh, okay. So you've got somebody stationed there?
Yeah, we just came from there, actually.
Oh. So somebody has spelled you?
Yes.
For this purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad you were able to come in. Let's do another track from your new CD, which is called, what was it? Shameless, what was it?
Shameless Plug.
Shameless Plug.
This next one is, it's a little hip-hop medley that I wrote. It's called Talkin' Dirty. And so it's got three songs, actually, on it. It's originally performed by the Pussycat Dolls. It's got Buttons. And then Low by Flo Rida, and then The Way I Are by Timbaland.
So this is your arrangement of all these tunes
all the
kind
of
run together.
Yeah, so.
And have you added your own words? Or
certain parts I did. Like I took some of their words at the end, and I just kind of made a mesh of all the three songs at the very end to make it kind of sound cool. So, yeah.
And given the title, and this is radio, I just want to make sure that there's yes. nothing on there we can't air.
No, there's plenty of family-friendly, clean, enjoyable stuff.
That's what I need to know. Don't want the FCC after us.
No,
that would be a bad thing. Because we'd try to pass the fine along when you couldn't afford it.
Okay.
That's the extension cords on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
What it do, baby boo? Yeah, little mama, you looking good. Hang with the X-Chords, I think you should. Voice like silk and we got a lot of swag. I know those other guys just make you gag. We'll show you how it go down. Yeah, I wanna get down. You and me, one-on-one, treat it like a showdown. Something to remember, just holla at me. Show you how to get down with the XTC.
I'm gonna loosen up my bodies, babe, aha, but you can't run it. Sonia, back up all the things that I
take you on a date. I can't even buy you flowers. But together we could be the perfect soulmates. Talk dirty to him, Jay.
Baby, it's alright now, you ain't got a flaw for me. If we go touch you the field, touch my love is free. We can work without the perks, just you and me. Dug it out till we get it right. Baby, if you strip, you can get a tip, cause I like you just the way.
To the bridge.
Shorty got them apple bottom jeans and the boots with the fur.
With the fur.
Another performance by the a cappella group from the University of Illinois called The Extension Chords, their takeoff on some hip-hop tunes, none of which was familiar to me, I have to tell you. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, and we're with Nick Hallway, who's president of the Extension Chords this year. Jesse Trieger's a new member. And Jesse, do they teach you how to make sounds like that? Or do you is that part of the test when you come in?
Well, I think I was asked if I could do it. And I've had a little experience just messing around, listening to music, but
So then did they say, okay, great, do something?
Actually, yeah. One of our songs, they said, we're running out of people that are doing the vocal percussion. You're doing it.
And
so,
what did they tell you to do?
They showed me a basic example and
good.
Just kind of
well, show us. It's your audition all over again.
Audition
all over again. I'm too nervous.
I don't even say
all I need. It's like.
Yeah, it's.
So everybody's got to do that repertoire.
Yeah.
Just from the sound of that, apparently you also have to learn, if you're going to do it in the studio, how to use the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Because then that sort of pops the things.
Yeah. We, a lot of times when we do shows and they'll put one mic aside just for vocal percussion, and they'll put a big pop screen on it just because you're like, you're eating the microphone pretty much.
When you do a live show, you mean they'll do that?
Yeah.
What's the when you do live shows, such as you're doing on Saturday, the X Fest at Folling Auditorium, at 8 o'clock? Is everything mic'd, or
yeah.
Is there a mic in front of the groups? And
well, it depends on the venue. Since this is our show, we really want it to be well mic'd, so we're getting some several condensers. Because those are, I feel, in my experience in the past 4 years of just doing a lot of different venues and a lot of different mic setups, condensers tend to really just capture the whole blend of the group instead of having a bunch of solo mics trying to pick up. Because then we've done even competitions where the mic setup was just five solo mics and all you hear are the guys in the front, and even not only them, you just hear like certain people sticking out. And so the whole group really isn't heard to their best potential. And so I've really strongly push for some condensers, and then a solo mic, and then one mic for like the beatboxing.
But you don't each have your own mic.
In the past, actually, in our spring show, Acapella Palooza, in the past few years, we've actually had headsets, and those have worked out well. Depending on who's running the actual sound, but the behind the scenes stuff, that can always
cause you're at
some
the
trouble.
Mercy of those people.
Yeah, but if it's done well, if everyone has the same levels adjusted, then it blends pretty well.
Well, we're glad you were able to come on the show today. This is our a cappella edition of Live and Local. Actually, I hope we'll have some other ones. But I hope we can work out to get you guys come in and do a live show if we have enough notice sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'd love to.
That would be a real treat. And we're going to hear later in the show the hosts of Friday Night's program, No Strings Attached. They are a mixed a cappella group, male and female. And their event is at 7:30 in Gregory Hall, and they're featuring eight of the University of Illinois a cappella groups, including the Extension Chords, who are going to be guests on that. And also, I'm not even going to rattle off all the other ones because I don't have that in front of me, but there's eight of the groups. And we'll be hearing them actually in a live set in our studio here in just a few minutes on Live and Local. Let's go out with one more cut from your brand new CD, Shameless Plug. Did I get the title right? I love that's a great title.
Thank you.
What's the song?
Steal My Kisses, originally by Ben Harper.
And it's Nick Hallway with us from the Extension Chords and Jesse Trieger. Thank you both for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having
us.
Thank you.
Really
appreciate it.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
But you wouldn't even come around to see me. And since you're headed up to Carolina, you know I'm gonna be right there behind you. Cause I always have to steal my kisses from you. I always have to steal my kisses from you. Always have to steal my kisses from you. Always have to steal my kisses from you. Now I love to feel that warm southern rain. Just to hear it fall is the sweetest sound of pain. And to see it fall on your simple country dress, it's like heaven to me, I must confess. Cause I always have to steal my kisses from you, you. I always have to steal my kisses from you.
The Extension Chords from the University of Illinois, a cappella group, all-male a cappella group, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I do need to clarify that since this was the rest of an interview I aired on Wednesday, we are not, in fact, running the No Strings Attached live segment because we did that on Wednesday already. You can, however, hear the a cappella concert tonight at 7:30 at Gregory Hall on the U of I campus. And X-Fest on Saturday night on the Quad in Follinger Auditorium. That is at 8 o'clock. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you for joining me today. On Monday's show, the Illinois IUB, Illini Union Board production of the musical Cinderella. We'll have a number of their cast members singing with us. And then Milt Allen directs the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony. He'll be on the show on Monday as well. It's going to be a mostly sunny and windy afternoon, the high around 65, partly cloudy and breezy tonight, the low 45, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 65, and partly to mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 67. We're at 62 now. This is WYLL-FM and HD Urbana, operating translators, W293 AF Danville, W266 AF Urbana. We're the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. News is next. Classical music at 106.
I always have to steal my kisses from you. I always have to steal my kisses from you.